from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janma Karma Cha Vishvatmam. Ajasya Kartu Atmana. Kiryan Nishishu. Yadashu. Tadadyanta Vidambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, that you take birth, though you are the vital force in the unborn. You yourself descend among animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Purport. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. In other words, they are all inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. The Lord is the all-pervading super-soul of all existence, and yet he appears in the form of a boar amongst the animals, in the form of a human being as Rama, Krishna, etc., in the form of Rishi like Narayan, and in the form of aquatic like a fish, yet it is said that he is unborn and he has nothing to do. In the Shruti Mantra, it is said that the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. No one is equal to or greater than him. He has manifold energies and everything is performed by him perfectly by automatic knowledge, strength, and activity. All these statements prove, without any question, that the Lord's activities, forms, and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because he is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in him. Therefore, no one can calculate him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by Vedic knowledge, but he can only be understood by the pure devotees because they are intimately related with him. Devotees therefore know that although he appears amongst the animals, he is not an animal, nor a man, nor a rishi, nor a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. Om Gyanatim Anandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Murtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurupe Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vamsha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. As you may have noticed, I have lost my voice a bit, but I think I can continue and give the class. Anywhere in the last week, there's about 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 groups that I'm involved with to try to make sure they have that proper experience in Vrindavan. I many of times have described faith as a sense in the mind that allows us to experience the divine. And that sense can be closed by doubt. And therefore, the proper teacher, through his explanations and examples, his personal example, removes doubt so that the disciple, the relationship to the holy name, prasadam, the deities, the dham, the disciple can have an experience called shraddha, called faith, which gives the disciple the trust, or the student, the trust to work hard and proceed on the path, to have that same experience or to deepen that same experience. So I'm here in Vrindavan to help people experience the Dham and to keep their faith open by instructions and by guiding them here, and by Srila Prabhupada's grace only, people are having tremendous spiritual experiences. But I'm doing a lot of talking class every morning at 7:45, class every day at 4:00, and taking people out and meeting people. Anyway, let's get into the story. We've been introduced to Krishna. Within the story of Maharaj Prickett, we're in the story of, if the Bhagavatam is questions and answers, the Guru, Siddha Goswami, is answering the questions of the disciples, the sages of Namasharya, and they asked about Maharaj Prickett and the relationship to understanding the history of the Bhagavatam. And that brought us to Maharaj Prickett's birth. I'm repeating this again many times just to keep everybody in the same context. And his birth was so glorious because the attempt to abort him from the womb of his mother by the by Ashwatthama was thwarted by Krishna, who appeared in her womb. But once Krishna is introduced, it's at the end of the war, and we're following him, and we're introduced, and not only we're introduced to Krishna, but the depth of loving relationships, the depth of attachment, and therefore separation that one can have for God, he perfectly reciprocates whatever way that we approach him. Yayatamapapajante comes to Tagavikama. As you surrender, he rewards accordingly, so God reciprocates. Yeah, I forgot where it is, but this read again recently. Prabhupada's three words describe the glory of God in the best way, that Krishna is responsive. And that's what's attractive about being. What's attractive about being is love, and love means reciprocation. That's what's attractive. So to see God's reciprocation with his devotees, doubly make us want to become a devotee. We want to become a devotee because love is so beautiful. And we want to become a devotee of someone who loves us and reciprocates our love beautifully. This is the impetus to become a devotee. Love is beautiful. The object of love is loving. It's so beautiful. that God himself wants that experience. It has to come as his own devotee, and that's the story of Sri Chaitanya. So we're seeing the love of Kunti, and love is expressed in glorification. That's the main expression of love. And here in Kunti's prayers, we're seeing her acknowledgement of her nephew as the Supreme Lord and the grace that she personally experienced that convinced her that Krishna is the most intimate shelter, and how that shelter protected her and her sons in so many ways, and the danger she experienced became a blessing because of her dependence on Krishna. The difficulty she had attracted Krishna to protect her, to the extent that she'd rather have the difficulties which attracted Krishna than not have difficulties. And therefore, she would be in a condition that wouldn't inspire Krishna to help her, because she didn't need it. And then she deeply talked about the qualifications to approach the Lord. And the qualification to approach the Lord is not any material qualification. In fact, material qualification can be a disqualification to approach the Lord. If you use your material qualification for power, to control, which gives you the sense that you do not need the mercy of God, and it's only the need for the mercy of God that attracts God's mercy. And the real core of bhakti, the real core of bhakti in the heart, is that feeling of need for mercy. Humility is also a kind of understanding and acceptance of reality. The more you want to enjoy, the less you will be able to see God in the world. Of course, the lens of material enjoyment makes us see the world as ours and not God's. But when one really wants to serve God, his lens, his vision, will be to see that everything is God's energy and meant for his enjoyment. And he'll really see God in the world so profoundly that it will make one humble, but not unhappy about that, because one's standard of value is not power, but service. So when your faith is in service and not power, you're not unhappy to not be the all-powerful. You're not unhappy to be really relatively insignificant, because it does not compromise your goal of service, which is self-worth, which is your self-worth. So your self-worth is not compromised by your insignificance if your objective is not power and control. If your objective is service, then power and control does not enhance your service. Because service means that whatever position you are in, you can give yourself fully. So you can have a view of insignificance and self-worth at the same time. And that's really the qualification to approach God. And God becomes attached to those people who love him and want to serve him and have that faith. That faith in service, that humility, it wins people's hearts. It's really, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. The most beautiful thing in the world is service, and which is based on humility. It's the most beautiful thing in the world is heart. The most beautiful thing in the world is love. And those are the foundational qualities of heart and love. So Queen Kunti is praying like this. And now maybe in the next two verses, she begins to describe the inconceivable nature of God so that one will not be bewildered and confused in one's relationship with God. Because generally, when things are contradictory, we tend to reject one or reject another. We tend to choose. But because God is inconceivable, tadejiti, tadnaijiti, tadare, tadvantike, he walks and he doesn't walk. He's near and he's far. He's inside and he's outside. So they don't contradict. And God has inconceivable power. The basic premise of understanding God is that he is not subject to the laws of nature. There's nothing above him. So even time does not rule God. Space does not rule God. And I think a healthy stage in Krishna consciousness is understanding our intellectual limits and not having doubts if we can't understand everything. Rather, if we think we understand everything, we should have doubts. If we think that the world conforms to our reasoning power and our will and our understanding, we should have doubts in our understanding. Even with Prabhupada, it maybe says things that I can't comprehend or I can't fit into my worldview. Maybe I can't even fit into my conscience sometimes. But that's reasonable because my power of understanding is limited. And therefore, I'm more than happy to say, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I'll never say it's wrong. There's a principle called anugata, following. We follow our teachers. And there's also a culture of faith. Because the sense of faith is what's going to have us experience the ultimate reality. And the experience of the ultimate reality is prema or love. Because the ultimate reality is a person whom we have a relationship with. So when we experience the ultimate reality, we'll experience love. And that prema is the highest experience of happiness. Because it's the essence of God's pleasure potency. So God is beyond the laws of nature. And therefore we can completely conceive because his power, because our experience of that realm is so limited. We'll read the next verse, text 31. Kopya dede tvayi kritagasi tamatava yate dishashru kalananjana sambhamaksham vakram vakram naniya bayabha pananaya stitasya samam vamohayati bir apiyadadeti. My dear Krishna, Yasoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering. So this is an example of how it's difficult sometimes to understand God, because from the standpoint of Tattva, fear is afraid of him. So the intellectual analysis of God, fear is afraid of God. But from the standpoint of Rasa, God is fearful of his mother. Because in terms of experiencing love fully, one has to experience the sweetness of love that comes from a superior. The sweetness of love, of mercy. The mother's love is called mercy. The mother's love requires an object of mercy. Therefore, motherly love is most pronounced when the person is just a baby, because a baby is dependent. So to experience mercy, you have to be dependent. So for God to experience the beauty of parental love or Vatsalya Ras, he must have a need or dependence for his maintenance and protection. But that vision of God, which makes him complete to experience motherly love and be an object of mercy, is diametrically opposed to the position of God, where he's perfect and complete. So Kunti is saying in our prayers, this is very, very bewildering. But at the same sense, if God is not both fully independent and dependent, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't have the fullest, and he wouldn't have the complete experience of love. We know sometimes, we see in India especially, when a man has real motherly love for his mother, he, even if he's older, he sits as a child before his mother, and he relishes that sense of dependence, which is antithetical to the position of God as all-powerful. So seeing this, Krishna in this position of fear and dependence of his mother, this is bewildering. Purport, here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the supreme in all circumstances, already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord being the supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of his pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service only unto the Lord out of unalloyed love, and while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of his devotee more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection without anything of reverential admiration. So God enjoys this love from someone who, in relationship, forgets his position, because if God reveals his position, it dictates a certain formality, distance, and fear in the relationship. And therefore, the love does not become kevala bhakti. It doesn't become only bhakti. It's something mixed with something else. So the Lord enjoys the love when it's more spontaneous. It doesn't have to have some analysis of etiquette and dealings. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude, but the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotees, out of pure affection and love, consider the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisement of his parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, he accepts the reproaches of his finances by fiancés more palatably than Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna is present in this material world, he manifests his eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan as an attraction to the people in general. He displayed a unique picture of subordination before his foster mother Yasoda. He wanted to enjoy motherly love, the flavor of which is a new Brahman mercy, which requires an object of mercy. So to experience motherly love, you have to be subordinate. The Lord, in his naturally childish, playful activities, used to spoil the stock butter of Mother Yasoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to his friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's beneficence. Mother Yasoda saw this, and out of a pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for a transcendental child. She took a rope and threatened the Lord that she would tie him up, as is generally done in ordinary households. Seeing the rope in the hands of his Mother Yasoda, the Lord bowed down his head and began to weep just like a child, and tears rolled down his cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about his beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Supreme Lord's position. Because she is conscious of the Lord's Supreme position. He is feared, often by fear personified, yet he is afraid of his mother who wanted to punish him just as an ordinary matter. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yasoda was not. Therefore, Yasoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yasoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yasoda had been conscious of the Lord's exalted position, she certainly would have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget this situation, because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before affectionate Yasoda. So if she realized his position, her flavor of love would be gone. This is flavor of love. I am your maintainer. Think of what motherly love means. I am your maintainer. Without me, you die. And that's the motherly love, and that's the flavor that a child will enjoy, even when he's an adult with his mother. When the mother treats him as an object of dependence, it's such a sweet flavor of love. And if the mother or Mother Yasoda realizes that Krishna is all-powerful, then it spoils her love. You can see the motherly love. It can't manifest. This exchange of love between the mother and son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti remembered the scene, was bewildered, and she could do nothing but praise the transcendental maternal love. Indirectly, Mother Yasoda's praise for a unique position of love where she can control even the all-powerful as her beloved child. Are there any questions? Anybody have any reflections of things that were said in class today that stuck with them?
Hare Krishna.
Anyone like to say hello? I vote
Hare
yes.
Krishna. Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, you can, because losing my voice, I can't continue the class, you know, fully, but if someone asks questions, at least I get a rest.
Okay. Yeah. When you were talking about Mother Yashoda, I thought of a chicken or the egg kind of question. So I'm wondering, you know, well, I know Mother Yashoda is like, you know, always Mother Yashoda, eternally Mother Yashoda, but for let's say other devotees who are not like Nitya Siddhas, right? I'm wondering if the relationship that we have with Krishna, is it like eternally? So in other words, let's say my relationship with Krishna is Vatsalya, right? Is it Vatsalya because it's eternally so, or is does he make arrangements according to my the desire that I develop? You know, in other words,
Well, there are definitely different opinions of that. And the question is whether rasa or our relationship is within the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And one side will say, if our relationship is not in the soul, then later we develop a relationship, then how can it say is the soul is immutable and unchangeable? Because it seems it changed from not being something to being something else, from the soul not being a parent of Krishna, not having parental love of Krishna to having parental love of Krishna. So that's one side. They make the argument that rasa cannot be, that rasa has to be inherited in the soul, even if it's just potentially there. Just like the walking capacity is within the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just has to be brought out. So that's one side. The other side says that feeling of love for Krishna is a manifestation of the Sharup Shakti. And if we have that Sharup Shakti, then how can that be covered? Because it's the Lord's internal potency. So how can... But generally speaking, in terms of Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta, and they gave elaborate arguments for that, they consider that rasa is inherent in the soul, and they'll point to the examples of Lord's eternal associates. For example, Murari Gupta, who is in the mood of reverentiala, it could not be changed, even by Lord Chaitanya and upon Lord Chaitanya's request. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him for his dedication to the form of God of Lord Ramachandra. Did that answer your question?
I think so. It seems like the answer is inherent.
The answer is that our line is said inherent.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Thank you, Nandi Gula. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you for a nice class.
Always nice to both of you. This is one of the classes where I'm kind of falling asleep and speaking at the same time. It's just been so interesting here. Interesting here with the amount of people that are coming and experiencing Vrindavan and taking shelter of Vrindavan. So anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Suri, thank you for an interesting class.
Yeah. Great. I love our community. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end now. It's a little bit later at night here. Thank you all, and we'll continue next week. Once you call to do the circle, this will be the end of the